Christine and I have no financial disclosures to make on this presentation. What we'd like to cover this morning are some learning objectives that deal first with a proposed healthy environment indicator, that is the geographic distribution of grocery stores and a variety of health measures, in particular to report out the relationship between grocery location and obesity of Indianapolis residents. Then we'd further like to examine grocery proximity and their reported fruit and vegetable consumption, and finally to discuss some policy implications of those findings. By way of introduction, food access has increasingly been offered as an indicator of health-promoting environments. In particular, there has been increasing availability of national and county and other small geography-related data that would allow cross-comparability between geographies like ours. This has led to a myriad of different kinds of efforts to measure food access, both at the ecological level as well as at individual level, and we will look at both those findings. And this study in particular will try to examine whether or not a very close proximity to a full-service grocery store, not including convenience stores, would be associated with urban residents' perceived access to as well as their consumption of fruit and vegetables. So looking at the literature, and we're indebted to Dr. Ford for her gracious review of a variety of these findings. The literature has documented an association, if not a causal relationship, between a lower income neighborhood and lower access to full service stores, particularly in those areas that are high minority, high poverty, and or a rural setting. In addition, those communities also face higher food prices, lower quality, and often less healthy choices. Several policy findings then have also been produced by groups such as the Food Trust, Marie Gallagher's work in Chicago, and others that have found a negative association between the lack of full-service groceries and obesity and other chronic diseases in particularly urban populations. At an individual level, that is where both the individual's self-reported access as well as individual measures of obesity or disease have also been reported, especially from the ARIC studies that have looked at both national chain grocery accessibility, lower BMI, and greater healthy food consumption, particularly, again, in low-income populations. So as an introduction to the Indianapolis foodscape, Marion County has mirrored Indiana, which has been in one of the top 10 high obesity states in the country for a number of years. Our health department has launched successful coalitions, local coalitions, that have addressed the built environment impact on physical activity, and which we've made some great inroads. But it was really two recent reports that have renewed our focus on our local food environment. The first was a Gallup survey that was published earlier this year by the Food Access and Action Center, where the respondents in our area were asked, have there been times in the past 12 months when you or your family didn't have enough money to buy the food that you needed? Within that report, we found we were in the top 25 food hardship metropolitan areas, including our 7th congressional district was the third highest in the nation, with almost 29% of our families reporting that they had experienced food hardship. This is a different picture than if you just looked at our poverty rate or our rate of participation in food stamps. So we also looked at Robert Wood Johnson's recent county health rankings indicators. As part of a health assessment process in the county, we were trying to determine what kinds of indicators that we probably should be monitoring as well, and one of them was access to healthy foods as part of the physical environment. And in the healthy county rankings, it was reported that we had 50% of our zip codes without a healthy food outlet, which they include as the U.S. Census designated stores with over 4 employees and or fruit stands. Well, in reviewing that particular indicator, we found that a number of the zip codes reported for us were not Marion County zip codes. And when we reviewed this and revised it, we found really only 6% of our total population lived in an area without one of those indicated census designated stores. Nevertheless, certainly from the BRFSS findings, we have two indicators that are glaringly clear, and that is 75% of our adults do not meet fruit and vegetable consumption guidelines, and 2 out of 3 of our adults are either overweight or obese. So we went back to some local demographic data that we collected back in 2005, an adult obesity survey. This was a stratified complex sample that covered the entire geographic area of the county. And we asked people to report BMI measures as well as their fruit and vegetable consumption. We also could geolocate those individuals and then add to it our geolocation of all our grocery stores in the county. This is a map that shows the distribution, and as you can tell, obesity is not uniformly distributed. The dark blue and the dark green band that you sort of see across the county is our center township area, which has the both highest population density as well as the highest density of poverty. So in the blue areas, we're looking at almost a 40% obesity rate for our population in those areas. And not surprisingly, this is associated with low income status. We also asked folks if they had been diagnosed with various chronic diseases, including diabetes. You can see here that the dark blue also follows that same sort of pattern that we just saw on the obesity slide. The brown edging that you see there are outlines of our areas with over 100% folks who meet 100% of federal poverty level concentration in the county. In these dark blue areas, the diabetes rate is 30 to 80% higher than the overall rate for the county, which was 10%. So to go back to some of our findings from this survey, one of our colleagues, Susan Chen, formerly of Purdue, now at the University of Alabama, did some spatial modeling with this data early on and found that respondents who had access to a national chain grocery store within a half mile of their residence was associated with lower BMI when she controlled for both individual as well as neighborhood level, so two different levels of demographic information. But that association was only seen in areas where higher poverty existed. Recently, just this year, they published a second paper which did modeling of this to take areas with over 40% where the population was under 200% of federal poverty level or more, and added a grocery store to that location, and found that in that sort of modeling experiment, they found that almost a half point BMI was reduced by adding a store in those particular locations. So excited by these findings, we wanted to see to what degree then does having a close proximate store affect people's fruit and vegetable consumption. We kept the same half mile radius, and we modeled whether or not people reported that they perceived that they had an accessible store and whether or not then that influenced their consumption pattern. So here's the maps of two types of stores. The national chain, you can see on the right, or on the left rather, in red. The dark black areas are high poverty density sections of the county, and you can almost see that same band where the obesity prevalence was mapped earlier. The green stores represent local grocery stores, not chain, national chains, but who daily provided all fruits and vegetables, fresh dairy and produce. You can see that they fill in a little bit more of these areas, but then there are still wide areas in the county that do not have access to a store. So the early findings were that out of our respondents, which again covered the whole geographic area of the county, 60% of the respondents were not within a half mile. That is, you know, most people could not walk to a grocery store really very easily. 13% reported that they did not have access to affordable fruits and vegetables, and 31% particularly of those who were under 100% of poverty. And not surprising from the BRFSS findings, a third did not meet the fruit consumption pattern, nor did 70% did not meet their vegetable. So I'll turn it over to Christine to follow up on that.
Thank you. So we wanted to explore our research questions at multiple levels, and we used a conceptual model based on some work conducted in 2005 from Lorea. Looking at demographic variables as well as subjective and objective measures of the food access and proximity to stores, specifically. And using weighted logistic regression, we use this to model access, as well as meeting fruit and vegetable consumption recommendations based on the Healthy People 2010 objectives of two consumptions of fruit and three servings of vegetables. And we controlled for the demographic variables that are listed here. And we wanted to test whether having a full service grocery store within a 0.5 mile distance made a difference, and that distance was the most that you would reasonably expect somebody to be able to walk to a grocery store to purchase these foods. From a demographic perspective, what we did find were for individuals who reported that their household income was less than 200% of the federal poverty level, they were 14% less likely to have a store nearby. And we also found, in terms of race and racial disparities, for African Americans are 50% less likely than whites to have a proximate store as well. However, interestingly, we did not find any relationships in terms of overweight status, overweight or obesity status, anything BMI 25 at 25 or greater, or being diagnosed with diabetes, or their perception of whether or not they had a store close by or accessible store specifically. So our first results look at fruit consumption and meeting those Healthy People 2010 fruit consumption recommendations. And we did find that there weren't, for gender, age, and age is not listed here, but for age as well, and for poverty, they were non-significant. However, for blacks, they were 20% less likely to meet fruit guidelines than whites. And then also for those who were employed, were 24% more likely to meet these fruit consumption guidelines. However, what was interesting for us in our findings, again, was that the proximate store was not significant when we controlled for those individual demographic variables. Then when we look at the Healthy People 2010 vegetable consumption, what we find is those demographic variables actually start now entering into the model. And with some interesting twists in there as well. For men, they were over 30% less likely than women to meet these guidelines, and low-income status also reduced intake. Once again, like fruit, the employment status increased consumption independent of income. But surprisingly, in the case of African Americans, contrary to some of the literature that we saw previously, they reported 20% greater vegetable intake once the other demographic variables were controlled. And again, we see for the proximate store, the store 0.5 miles to the home, not having an effect. Thank you. I'll go ahead and let you read through this in terms of interpretation based on the work that we did and how we were interpreting it. When controlling for SES variables, we did find that vegetable consumption was greater for African Americans than it was for whites, but this wasn't necessarily the case for the fruit consumption. And then when we looked at the socioeconomic status variables, we found both independently increased vegetable consumption, but only one was relevant for the for fruit consumption specifically. And then gender did make a difference in vegetable consumption, but not in fruit, as well as and age was not relevant for either. And then surprisingly, neither fruit nor vegetable consumption were predicted by store proximity once we controlled for the demographic variables. And so there are some limitations to the study that are worth mentioning, and we were discussing this a little bit before the presentations, but there's some assumptions that we're making with the models that we're using. And the model assumes that the produce that is being consumed is actually being bought at a store. And that may not necessarily be the case. We're also, and also that the produce is being purchased at the store most proximate to the residents of the individuals. And again, that may not necessarily be the case. Our data didn't allow us to explore questions of transportation, which may have played a role as well in both the perceived and the actual store proximity and then the subsequent consumption. And then we have this kind of black box of purchasing behavior specifically and not having much information on how people actually buy their produce. Do issues of perishability make a difference to issues of whether family likes the produce that's being purchased, does that make a difference, and how does that relate then to their consumption? So our study then raised some interesting policy questions that may be ones that are being questioned amongst yourselves as well. And one of them is, you know, how to target interventions to improve dietary intake. Do we need to start looking, based on some of the findings that we had, on gender culturally specific models that also address those differences that we found in the models for fruits versus the vegetables? Are we lumping fruits and vegetables together when we do need to start looking at them independently? Also, we need to start considering other produce locations for purchasing fruits and vegetables outside of grocery stores specifically. For ourselves locally in Indianapolis, there are some options that we're looking at and considering. We have several coalitions that are starting to come together and look at food policy councils to engage community leadership in prioritizing the needs around the food environment. We're also looking at using incentives for improving existing stores as opposed to building something new. And also our schools and parks departments have begun to work together to look at healthy food options within a community, including community gardens and some community-supported agriculture. And we'd be happy to talk a little bit more about our actions in Indianapolis, if time permits. And we thank you for your time.
Behaviors that we're really kind of fascinated by on that vegetable finding. It looks card, you can actually get the purchasing behavior that way, which,
unfortunately in our data set, people are like, the purchasing is a black box. We don't really have any information on that, but it allows us at least to look at the geographic distribution of purchase, so to speak.
Well, we're actually going to have to take more questions.